Good evening. I'd like to welcome you all to Dunwoody High School. My name is Kevin Harris, principal here. Happy to see some of our parents here tonight. Nevertheless, we're here for a construction update. But let me just give you a couple updates as you navigate through Dunwoody High School this evening. The ladies' room and the men's room, if you come out this corridor, main corridor here, turn to your right, you have the restrooms. Also, there's some restrooms on this far end on this side of the corridor as well. All cell phones, if you don't mind putting them on vibrate. We don't want you to miss any important information. Ms. Pat Pope is here to deliver some very important information, and I'm certain you don't want to miss anything. But on behalf of DeKalb County Schools, my supervisor is here tonight, Ms. Beth Heckman, Region 1 Area Assistant Superintendent. And I'd just like to welcome you all. If you have any questions, there's some staff members here from Dunwoody High School that will assist you. If you need the phone, just proceed to the main office and just dial 9 for outside line. Thank you very much. Ms. Pat Pope.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the final construction update. Actually, I'm not going to bring a bunch of the information. The rest of the team is going to bring the information. I would like to introduce your principal, Mr. Jonathan Clark, who will bring you a curriculum update. Also, Robin Birch will come up next, and she'll talk about the landscaping plans and some of the design initiatives that we have planned for the new elementary school. Mr. Barry Booth, the project manager, will go through a quick construction update and maybe talk a little bit through the rendering that we have of the school. And then Mr. Hall will answer any of your transportation questions and talk to you a little bit about your transportation plan. And then we'll answer all of your questions that you may have about the elementary school. But before we start, I would like to tell you we are going to finish on time. Even though it may not look like it, we are going to finish at the time. The majority of the work has been occurring in the classroom wings of the building, and a lot of you, I think, got a chance to visit the school today and walk the school today and see a lot of the finishes that are going in. So without further delay, Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Ms. Pope. A couple of things that I just wanted to highlight. Big benchmarks for us from the instructional side, getting the official school name. So having gone through that, we went through the process, board policy. We now have an official school name. We are Dunwoody Elementary School. We are the Tigers. We are dark blue and light blue. So that's our first benchmark. From that point, we can now file for 501(c), nonprofit, our PTO is up and running. So we've got our elections. We've had those. We've got our officers. So we're really running on that side. So in the schoolhouse, then we start looking at how many kids we're going to have, how we're going to serve them, and what kind of staffing issues are we going to have and or need. So with that, we look at the schools that are feeding us. We're taking the third and fourth graders from the three feeder schools, currently Vanderlyn, Austin, and Chestnut. When you look at those numbers, we have about 380 third graders who will be fourth graders. We have about 361 fourth graders who will roll up and be fifth graders. Hey guys, if you'll grab a, there's an agenda right there. No, not a problem. Come on. No worries. Come on in. And so 361 fourth graders who are going to be fifth graders. So that puts us right at 741 just students who are currently enrolled at the three feeder schools. That does not include people who are attending other schools who are going to come back. That does not include private school students who are coming back. So we've got a lot of phone calls and a lot of requests for registration. So I believe we're going to be a little higher than that. But that's fine. We've got room for capacity. But with that in mind, then we look at staffing and how do we staff it. We'll have 27 homeroom teachers. We'll have two grade levels. We're working on getting all those numbers. We've got all the teachers staffed but one. So we're one short on a teacher staffing, but we're working on that in-house. And we have our kitchen staff. We're hiring that today, tomorrow. We're hiring our custodial crew. And the other thing that we need to put together is, just so you know, on the teacher staff, every teacher came from one of the feeder schools or a close relative who might have had a reduction in force. You've heard about the economy and teachers losing their jobs or whatever, moving. So we're getting seasoned, wonderful teachers that a lot of your kids and you as family members are familiar with these teachers. So we've got 9 from Vanderland, 7 from Austin, 4 from Chestnut, roughly, something like that. I don't have those exact numbers. But the other teaching staff that are coming to us are also coming from Huntley Hills, Shamley Middle, you know, various other places like that. So it's going to be a great, great staff. I've had the opportunity to meet with them a couple of times, and they're just so excited. It's a little double-edged sword because they hate leaving where they are because they're extremely happy with Mr. Malouf, Dr. Reed, and Ms. Ogletree. But they're also ready for this new challenge, and they're jazzed about it. One other person I wanted to mention tonight that I'd like to introduce to you, this will be our unveiling for the first time. We will also start the school year. We have 2 assistant principals, and one of them is here with us tonight, and that is Ms. Carol Leslie. Ms. Leslie, would you please stand up? So, Ms. Leslie, she comes to us. We met yesterday, had a real nice lunch, and she has 29 years of experience in DeKalb County, and so she's been at all different areas. She is a wonderful asset that's going to really help us just bring that instructional program home. With that in mind, is there any questions? I always say this. Go to the website. We have a vanity domain name, dunwoodyelementary.com. Of course, you go to the DeKalb County Schools, find elementary schools, Dunwoody Elementary, DeKalb, K-12, all that. That's fine. But the easiest way to remember it is dunwoodyelementary.com. The PTO, that was one of their first orders of business, was to buy us an easier website name to remember. And then the next few benchmarks, we're going to be coming out with our certificate of occupancy, and we will have a grand opening celebration that I'm very excited about, too. Ms. Pope's been real wonderful to help us support and plan that. We're looking at dates, but I don't think I can say anything yet because we've got to check with everybody's calendar. But anyway, when we come back from summer, we'll have a big, big blast. Okay, do you have any?
I'm sorry, what was the
time? 741. 900?
That grand opening celebration will be before school starts or after school starts?
We're looking at dates right around when the kids return, like Saturday. This is the grand opening. This is not the August 5th right. Open house. This is the dedication, the formal process, and then the grand opening large celebration. We have the horse rides and the ice cream dipping dots, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. Oops, sorry. We're going to have all that. We're looking at a couple of dates around the start. We want everybody to have the opportunity to come back from vacation. But we also want to do it early to, you know, ride this wave of positive energy. But we also want the dignitaries and the large people in the county to be able to be there with us. I can't? Okay. We're looking at August the 8th. Sorry. Saturday, August the 8th. In that way, right, because like everybody comes back on the 5th. Or at least you'll be there on the 5th for open house, hopefully. But also the students come back on the Monday, the 11th. So, or the 10th, I'm sorry, Monday the 10th. So we figured on Saturday the 8th, everybody will be back in town and ready, and we can have a really large showing that day. I'm talking about getting in touch with people with the city, the county school system, you know, just all sorts of business partners. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And that'll be Saturday, or I hope it'll be Saturday, August the 8th. And that's just dependent on everybody's calendar, but I think I've been given a sort of go ahead. Okay, if you guys have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Yes.
When will you announce the actual teachers who are going to be there?
We are waiting for the end of this school year so that, you know, as you all know with homeroom, there's that bonding with your homeroom teacher that you had all year and the communities and whatnot. So we are waiting until that last day. I know who they are. Some of them have made the announcement to their communities, but that's kind of, I'm letting them handle that at the local schoolhouse as best they see fit before I do it, because I don't want to disrupt everybody's community.
How would you do that?
The easiest way I'm going to do it is once the school, we get to the 27th, 28th, after everybody's gone, I'm just going to upload the webpage. And that'll be the best and easiest way. And that really is the best and easiest way for communication, other than, you know, blogs in the community and things like that, so we can get that information out. But just come back to our website to look for what we're going to have.
Okay.
I will admit, I'm a couple of days behind getting the PTO officers posted, but we've just been doing some other things. But we'll get that out there as soon as the school year ends. Yes, sir?
What determines what the schedule starts and stops at school at the end?
7:45 and 2:15 for the curriculum day. Now, busing will be dropping off, and the buses will leave and take off at 2:15, and they'll be there a few minutes earlier on some of the earlier routes. But the academic day will be 7:45 to 2:15.
First bell's at 7:30.
Or 7:45. No. I'm sorry. Yeah, 7:30, getting everybody into class. The actual day will start. So first period will start at 7:45.
So 7:30 is first bell.
Okay. I mean, those kinds of well, the reason I'm saying that is we haven't worked out exactly all the details of when first bell will be, when we'll dismiss, how we're going to work, everybody coming to school, are they going to sit in the cafeteria, are we going to supervise in the classrooms, and so on. So those are some of the details we're still working out as a faculty. The 28th will be the first day we can actually sit down, all of us together, to go over all of this. So some of that's a little bit of detail, but 7:45, so probably the first bell, 7:30, 7:40-ish, to get to your home run, your first period. Yes, ma'am?
For those of us who have students who are going to be at multiple schools, this is actually a little difficult starting mending time, or is there a special way to communicate to you, you know, is it better for the parents to discuss this with you, or... Is there any way to work out how we're
going to
get our kids to school?
Well, unfortunately, with the 7:45 to 2:15 start time, there are a couple of different things that drive that bell schedule. And transportation is one of them. And the three-tiered bus system is one of them. And the way we've structured our academic day, we either go really early or we go really late. Neither one of those are options either. So it's just... 7:45 to 2:15 puts us at the same time as one of the other schools in the feeder pattern. But if we go to another time, we would be with the same school start time as three or four of the other schools in the feeder pattern. So this was just where we went with, unfortunately, lesser of two evils, so to speak. So
along the lines of transportation, because again, this affects some of us who are trying to figure out how to get our leadership back in here.
Right.
How can we find out if we're eligible for the bus or not? There are a number of us who are very close to the 1.5 mile. I myself have tried to contact two or three different people in the county and have not gotten a response. I don't know if my child is eligible to ride the bus or not.
And
we hear this standing from my age to a supervisor here in the office that used to be middle.
Yes, sir.
More comments than a question, but with regard to the start and stop times, in the morning are less of a, to me, less of a critical issue than that. I can get my kids to both schools a little early, but I'm restricted on the pickup time on the other side. If both schools are going to end at 2:15, and if I'm not eligible for busing, then both schools are going to have to discuss with the faculty, what are you going to do with these kids until I show up? I mean, there's no way you can go ahead 700 families showing up, you know what I mean? So, just something for discussion, just discussing the faculty. There's
got to be some give and take if you're going to start schools. Well, and that's something we can certainly look at, because 2:15 is when the buses roll. So if we have a parent pickup, that might be a little bit of flexible time, and that's certainly something we'll sit down and look at and talk to all the staff members, because if the buses roll at 2:15, because they have to get to the next level, to Vanderlyn or to the next, you know, but you come in and pick up your child at 2:30, okay, you know, but that's where we can start working those subtleties out to where, I mean, it's not like we're going to say, okay, it's 2:15, get out, lock the door.
Right,
you know, so...
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We understand that. Supervision and security and safety of your child is our number one priority. So, you know, certainly we'll work in all that. Okay. Like I said, if you guys have any further questions or stuff pops up, I'll be sitting over there. I'll be happy to jump up and answer questions or shoot me an email, dunwoodyelementary.com, our new website. And you see my email address all over the place up there. So thank you, guys. Thanks for speaking. Oh, and I'm sorry. And the next person who we're going to hear from is, I was talking more about what's going on inside the building, So some of the stuff that's going on outside the building with the landscaping plans is furniture.
Hi, I'm Robin Birch. I'm representing Dunwoody Homeowners Association and Mayor Wright with City of Dunwoody. I've been working very closely with Councilman Danny Ross, Ms. Pope, and Jonathan Clark to make some modifications on the building to improve the aesthetics for the neighbors that adjoin the property line. And we have had numerous meetings. This is our rendering of the completed project. You can see that we have changed the roof color from the original colonial red to a gray that was more aesthetically pleasing to the neighbors. We have also, on the interior, reconfigured the health clinic that originally had been a very small confining space. We've almost doubled the size of the health clinic for the children and are really happy with the new design of that. We have also, as far as the landscaping and exterior is concerned, we have redesigned the landscaping to provide a visual barrier between the neighborhood of Windhaven Court and the school. So Ms. Pope has generously given us a much larger landscaping budget, which also includes a beautiful decorative fence between the school property and the backyards of the neighbors in Windhaven Court. So we have a decorative fence instead of a chain link fence. We've got beautiful landscaping. We have also designed outdoor classrooms outside of the art room, science room. We've added garden space so that the children will have plots of land where they can cultivate, grow, plant vegetables, whatever that evolves into. So the back of the school is actually hopefully going to evolve into a science and agricultural center for the students. We have also, on the interior, Ms. Pope has chosen colors that reflect the light blue and dark blue colors that were chosen for the school colors and uniforms. So I think when we have the grand opening, everybody is going to be very, very pleased with the changes and design of the new school. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Barry Booth, project manager for the DeKalb County Schools. I'll just give you a brief update on the construction activities. We're approximately about 80% complete on construction, scheduled to complete again on June 30th of this year. Starting with the exterior of the facility, we've pretty much completed all of the exterior of the facility, and we're pretty much ready for dry-in. The only activities that are waiting to be completed as far as the exterior goes would be the windows. We do have some of the roofing panels that are scheduled to be completed, which should be, from my understanding, be completed within the next week or two. So we should have complete drying within the next couple of weeks. Majority of the what I call major equipment, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, site work, most of that work is complete. So right now, once we get completely dried in, it's really a matter of function of blowing and going. So if there's any opportunities that we feel like we may be slipping on the schedule, then those guys should be able to work double shifts to be able to get the job done. So that's a good point of where we are right now. Those of you who were able to, can I see a hand of those who were able to make it out today for the advisory meeting? And I'm pretty sure you saw the activities that were going on the inside, that we were really moving right along. So we're very confident in that there's no problem with meeting that schedule at all. So we'll probably, as far as the site work goes, it looks like starting June 1st that we'll be blowing and going on all of the landscaping activities, and so it's looking pretty good as we are right now. So again, on schedule, activities are going quite well out there. So again, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. Thank you.
Actually, there was a
voluntary stop work order issued by DeKalb County Schools. It was not issued by the EPD. It was issued by DeKalb County Schools, an effort to bring our NPDES erosion sediment controls up to speed, and that was the issue with the stop work order.
Okay. Wasn't that one violated also?
I'm sorry?
Wasn't that one violated?
No.
So what was the second stop work order?
There wasn't a second stop work order. There was only one that was issued.
So is that, I guess, I'm not aware. Was the AJC wrong? Was the AJC
article wrong? Oh, I get to answer that question. They had that info.
Yeah. Okay.
They had that info.
No,
it does not mean you can't work. And let me give you more info. This actually occurred about 5 to 6 weeks ago. Was it? I think 4 or 5, 6 weeks ago. When we had the big rains and the tornadoes and the big winds. I think everybody remembers that. The contractor continued to try to work, but again, it was just too wet. The contractor actually had stopped working on the site because it was raining every day. I think it rained for like 8 days in a row. It actually was raining every day. One of the neighbors, I'm not sure which one, claimed that the stream was being, erosion was getting into the stream. It actually was not. We actually have tests to prove it from our testing agency, and the contractor was responsible for, again, putting their erosion control measures back into place, because as the high winds came and the rains came, it continued to wash them away, and they put them back and it continued to wash them away. Yes, we, the Cape County School System, and it was one of Barry's recommendations that we stop site work until the site dried out. And that's what we were waiting for, the site to dry out. I think that maybe the commentary, the complaints that came after that, came after the rain, came after the stop. But no, the site has no EPD issues whatsoever. Any other questions about the construction?
Came before the rain, you were talking about.
There were a lot of complaints before the rain. There's complaint about noise, but we explained before we started construction.
And there weren't proper erosions. There was no. You saw the pictures.
There was erosion control.
Right.
The complaints came because there was dirt in the road. Right. Their complaints came because there was too many dump trucks that were leaving the site. So it's not a project that we have not had complaints, but it's not unusual that we have complaints on every construction project, especially when you have them in a neighborhood. Unfortunately, it's a part of what happens when you have a construction project in a neighborhood.
What about the missing permits?
There were no missing permits.
Why?
There were absolutely no. I have no idea. I believe, here's what I'll say. I don't say I have no idea. I'm going to say this. I think there was a lot of miscommunication. There was a lot of miscommunication. There were no missing permits. There were no invalid permits. There was nothing that was found that the contractor actually did wrong. He did not violate any. And personally, I went to the meeting, so I know that personally did not happen. Okay?
Did you ask the agency for a retraction?
No, I did not. It did not matter to me.
Anything to do with what we're trying to move forward with our kids attending young people?
Yes.
It does?
Yes. Okay. If there really is a problem with missing permits, or if there's a problem with them not taking care of code with that, are they building the rest of the building correctly? Do we know?
They're burning.
No.
Well, I'll assure you that the contractor is building the building correctly, that all the permits are in place, that all the inspections are being done, and that we'll receive a final certificate of occupancy before August, and we'll be in the building. And I'll tell you, it not only is it a beautiful building, I'm extremely proud of the design and proud of the work that the project team has done, because they've put together this school in the shortest period of time. I thought Flat Rock Elementary was a Princeton Elementary. I thought Princeton was a chore, and they did that in 12 months, was it, or 11 months? This one is really a job, and they're doing an excellent job, and it will be finished on time. So we're very, very proud of this school.
You got the good work.
Thank you. Can't wait for the opening. It's going to be a grand opening. Jonathan has some exciting things planned. I keep holding on to my wallet every time he mentions it. Well, I think you guys are going to be extremely proud of the school. And what's most important is that the kids are going to learn, and it's going to be a great learning environment. I think the collaboration that we've had with the Dunwoody Homeowners Association has only highlighted the project as well. The landscape plan is simply unbelievable. There's a copy of it here, but I think everybody's going to be extremely proud of what has been done on the landscaping plan as well. Are there any other questions? I'll take any questions you have.
What type of playground equipment did y'all decide to put in?
No, I actually don't know the answer to that. But I'll have to, we'll check with the instructional arm of the school system, and I'll let you know. I'll answer that question.
It is 4 to 5.
4 to 5.
Right. It is not designed for a full elementary school.
Correct. That is correct.
Yes. Is it on uniforms?
That is you. He gets that pleasure.
When we first started this and went to the community for input, we have one school that's a charter school that has uniforms, one school has a dress expectation, one school does not. So we kind of asked, what would you all like? What would you support? We got the DeKalb County and so on. We have come up with what we're calling Plain is Perfect and Spirit Wear Super. And what we mean by that is solid colored shirts, solid colored bottoms. Simple. Doesn't necessarily have to be one or two colors. I would prefer, just me, love to see dark blue, light blue, or white. We will have a school spirit store, and I'm talking to our Ways and Means and our PTO about offering for sale Dunwoody Elementary shirts that are the golf shirts collared that have the Dunwoody Elementary with the paw sewn on them, khaki pants and bottoms. Sure, we will offer that to you if you guys would like it. But again, no camouflage pants, no shirts with loud writing on it or any of that kind of stuff, no logos, no labels, smaller than a quarter. We are doing very similar to what is going on at Peachtree right now. Plain is perfect, spirit wear super. So if you've got spirit wear from all the feeder schools, Austin, Chestnut, Vanderbilt, don't throw it away. Wear it. I would also suggest, a little plug for the school store, start buying the new spirit wear so you can have and sort of meld in. Because I'm sure what's going to happen is everybody's going to come at first, and they're going to wear their own stuff. But once we start getting into that building, and they're going to start to gel and blend and be this wonderful group that we think they're going to be, then they're going to want to wear Dunwoody Elementary. The other thing I'm going to say is about spirit wear, I don't mean just in the lower grade feeder batters. I'd love to see on Friday nights or Fridays where we wear future Wildcat stuff. Maybe wear all red one Friday and then go to the football game Friday night because we're part of the feeder batter. So it's not just below, it's the next level of the meeting. We may have an afternoon where we do a Saturday Rivers Alive cleanup, or where we do cleanup of the campus, and a lot of the outdoor environmental stuff, all this wonderful stuff we're planning on the outside of the school. Well, maybe we go to the Peachtree Saturday game before we come to this. Again, we're wearing spirit wear, we're trying to show community. That's what I was talking about with one of our plans is, we're starting a city, we've got a community, we've got a rich history. Let's celebrate that stuff and celebrate what we're doing. Bring all of us together. Anyway, so that's kind of like my speech. But yeah, plain is perfect. Spirit wear super. Yes, ma'am.
Is it a collared shirt plain or is it a t-shirt plain?
Either way. Again, I would prefer collared, but that's fine. As long as you're, and then the jackets and the outerwear and all of that, the question is, do I have to go buy my kid new winter clothing? No. Because if your kid's cold, I don't want them to not wear a jacket because it's striped. You know what I'm saying? So that's fine, because the other thing is when they come into the building, the first thing they're going to do is take the jacket off. So the clothing that they are wearing is compliant with the dress for success, dress, spirit wear that we want. Yes, sir?
Do you see this being put out soon on the website and so the students start shopping for sales and stuff like that? I mean, specific word asking jeans or khakis and khaki
only? No.
It can be jeans.
Can be jeans. Jeans, khakis, shorts, skorts, jumpers, and I'm not up on yet. You know, all of them. yes, it can be. And it can be t-shirts. Again, if it's just a solid colored shirt, I'd love to see everybody wearing a collared golf shirt. And we'll have those for sale. I really recommend, we're going to have, I'm pushing to have in the spirit store, school store, 4 pairs of khakis and a couple of 3 or 4 golf shirts, collared shirts, you're done for the year buying your kids' clothes. In December, buy your child a long sleeve shirt, we're good. you know. But then when they, on Friday, they want to wear whatever, okay, we'll have Spirit Day on Friday. We'll have the occasional Spirit Day where we dress like a pirate or whatever the kids want to do. I mean, I'm making that up, but, you know. Oh, that's Vandalith. Where, yes.
What about, like, sports shorts for boys that have a contrasting stripe down the side? Does that qualify as solid?
Nope. Solid is solid. So, and that's where we go, like, with camouflage and all that other kind of stuff. So we want it to just be a solid color bottom and a solid color top. The only thing that we got out of the survey that the community completely identified with was you wanted to be able to wear jeans and you didn't want to tuck in your shirts. That was the only definitive answer on the survey. Everything else was, yeah, we'll support this, we'll support that, we're happy to do whatever. Just do something special above and beyond what the cab's asking. So this is kind of where we're merging and we're getting ready for Peachtree in this dress fashion.
So you talk about supporting the community, so some child can't wear like a Dunwoody shirt or a University of Georgia shirt or a Georgia shirt.
Well, they're not part of our feeder pack.
No. Hopefully they are.
We hope to, but since I can't promote the Georgia or Georgia Tech, which came up with the naming committee. Do we want to be the Yellow Jacket? No. Do we want to be Bulldog? No. You know, so all that came up. But, yeah, I know, just in our current feeder pattern. Now, we will do things like college days. Those are kind of spirit wears day that we will do to support various colleges. We'll do those a couple of times a semester so we can get, you know, have the teachers wear their college stuff.
So, just to understand, I don't want to give a big lecture, but why a solid color? What's wrong with someone coming in with a striped shirt that has no, you know, it's not camouflage, it's a polo shirt, has stripes on it.
Right.
Curious why
solid? That was just a decision that we came to. And if you wear solid, everybody's kind of wearing the same solid, then there's not as much distraction, all that. We're just keeping it simple. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Can we go back to the buses for a minute?
Okay.
For how will the bus system work if I've got a fifth grader? Is he on the same bus as kids at Vanderland? How does that bus pick up and drop off work? Or is he on the bus only with kids from Dunwoody Elementary?
When you have a child in the morning who is getting picked up, child, the bus will go through, and if your child is at Vanderbilt or at Chestnut, the bus will come through and pick up the children at that stop, make the delivery to Dunwoody 4-5, come back, drop the children off at Vanderbilt.
So they all get on at the same stop at the same time?
Really don't want to come up because they got a striped shirt on. No. I'm going to do this anyway. It's very stuffy. Okay. Okay, I might call them with transportation. Okay, and it's been a dilemma for us as well. There are several different scenarios based on which school you actually attend, okay? In the Austin district, because Austin is a highly traffic situation trying to get from here to Austin and vice versa. What we've done in the Austin district in the mornings, we've added buses for the fourth and fifth graders, okay? Because to bring the Austin students down here and then return them back up there would just be chaotic and time consuming. So we've added probably 3 to 4 buses, just contingent on the number of fourth and fifth graders necessary to get them. So we'll run that different in the morning. Those fourth and fifth graders will come directly to Academy on a separate bus. The Austin bus would go directly to the school. Vanderland proximity-wise is closer in, so is Chestnut, so we could do something different. Now let me go back and start and explain. First of all, we didn't get a whole separate different buses because we got the same number of students. We transport the same number of students. If all those students had stayed at Vanderland, we already had buses in place to transport those students. Now some scenarios did change because some of them became bus riders because they came over to the academy. Not a lot of that took place. So we should be able to operate the same this year as we did last year with the same number of buses. So that's what caused us to have to try to combo the situations in the morning, okay, to make it convenient. The buses will run the Vanderland tier in the morning like they normally done, okay? They'll drop off here at the academy first, okay? And it's our hope that the academy will have about a 10-minute earlier start time than Vanderland, so they will end a little bit earlier. And in the PM, We would pick up here at the academy first and then go around the corner, pick up the band of the kids and do the same thing with Chestnut, okay, and the same thing with Austin. In the PM, we would not add any Austin buses. The buses would leave here and then go to Austin and be ready to receive the kids. Probably get there maybe 5 or so minutes after Austin actually has gotten out. Okay, but hopefully we'll be there around that time frame. So that's the way we're looking to operate from that standpoint. Again, it's totally unique for us. We don't have this kind of configuration anywhere else in the CAP school system. So we're going to be open for, you know, suggestions, modifications, adjustments as we start, you know, try to make it, you know, as operable as it possibly can be, okay?
When will you have the bus routes and the pickup times posted?
The bus routes, the date we had given is June the 1st.
Okay.
Okay, and hopefully we'll make that date. We're wrestling with summer school right now. We've had about 3 or 4 different scenarios as to how we're going to operate summer school, actually 3 today. So we're hoping we'll have those out of the way and be able to get yours posted by June the 1st on the website. Yes?
I'm not sure if I really tracked what you described, but I had heard that I'm in Austin. My child would have to go to Austin to get on the bus to come here. Is that how that will work, or would the bus actually pick up in the neighborhood?
That's going to pick up in the neighborhood. It's actually going to pick up in the neighborhood. Now, what the question was in relationship to probably what you're saying is that you may have a second grader at Austin that's a walk-in.
Yes.
But your fourth grader, you could have a fourth grader that actually comes here.
Yeah.
Okay, now the fourth grader would be picked up. Okay, the second grader would not. Okay, that's probably the question that was out there. Yes?
When the bus picks up here, they actually leave the horses of the parents and they go to the neighborhood. Well, like the bus stop takes a while to be able to pick out the school. And all regular neighbors said the bus route might be to the neighborhood during the trip to out of the neighborhood. Otherwise, if they're on the bus here, they go to Bangor, they could be sitting there for 15 minutes while the route.
We'll take a little bit of loading time. I've spoken to Mr. Clark, and we're going to try to dismiss the bus routers maybe 5 or 7 minutes earlier, board, you know, load the buses and get them on a route to Vanderlyn, you know, quickly. So.
Okay, what's the bus kids saying?
Yes.
I was hoping to call the radio over and say they just not coming to the family to start dismissing. Otherwise, the bus would sit there for 15 minutes while they're
No, we won't have a 15-minute differential. We're going to be trying to get there before they turn out. Normally what we do, we are sitting there. Normally our buses are sitting there before dismissal. But in this situation, we're probably going to be trying to get there about their dismissal time. Because you're talking of, you know, 5, 7, 8, and probably with fourth and fifth graders, we probably can load the buses in about 8 minutes once they get used to what buses they're going to get on. Okay, if it's a 10 or 15 minute offset, you know, by the time we take an 8 minute loading time to go around the corner, they've already dismissed. So we're going to be pushing to get there. Okay, but we would like to be there before they dismiss. They would have to hold them maybe 5 minutes in that situation. Okay, but again, we got to try to work all the logistics out from that standpoint. Yes?
Was there any discussion? I'm a parent of 4 kids. Was there any discussion about those that have the busing situation where maybe one bus works and the other is a pickup of doing a shuttle between schools, so at least that parent that has a child at both schools could have one pickup and one drop-off for the child coming to both schools.
We have talked about that, and we don't know how many situations like that may come about, but we discussed with Mr. Maloof, you know, having a pickup at Vanderlyn in the mornings, okay, so if you walk your kid in to Vanderlyn, we're going to pick up at Vanderlyn and then deliver over here.
And even
you are going to do it?
One pickup. I mean, to me, it's just from the traffic congestion problems around both schools, and even the Austin scenario where you've got a walker and then a bus rider, so that the moms and dads that are responsible for pickup and drop-off are only doing it at one site. And it just becomes there's a shuttle from point A to point B, and there's one pickup, one drop-off, and then limited on circle maps for double pickup and double drop-off.
Well, in the PM, when the buses leave here, all the fourth and fifth graders will be on the bus. So when they get to Vanderbilt, if they want to get off and walk home with their little brother, that's an option that can happen. Yes. Yes, Miss Ma'am. We're not absolutely sure about that. Normally we can get one in front of the school. There's a lot of traffic right here on Womack. So we probably would have one there. That's not absolute, but in most of our schools, we do have them in those areas. So I'm pretty sure we would get that. And we did have a fatality in one of our schools this year, directly in front of the school, in the crosswalk, with a crossing guard. So we definitely need a crossing guard there. So, you know, every effort would be made to do that. And I'm sure we can make that happen. I would insist that that happen, to be honest. Yes? Share something with you, so and maybe we can expedite the process. A lot of things we're going to look at, and we're going to be as friendly as we possibly can, but we are governed by some guidelines and some policies statewide as well, okay? You're supposed to be outside a mile and a half in order to be a bus rider, okay? And that's what the state...
Or is that the way the bus is?
It's supposed... It's a mile radius from the school and a mile and a half walking to the school. That's how it's determined. Okay, now you naturally, if you have busy, dangerous streets, if you can't get crossing guards, then we have to pick you up within that area. Okay, but otherwise, that's what happens. Okay, and what we want to do now is that we have to be consistent, because what happens in Dunwoody is going to be known in Lathonia, Stone Mountain, Tucker, everywhere else. So if we do it up here, we're going to have to do it elsewhere. So we're going to do as much as we can and stay within the guidelines as we possibly can. Okay, again, if a bus, if we come by Vanderland in the morning, okay, for a pickup, then we can pick up the walk-ins, okay, of the people that have walked in and bring them on over here, okay? We'll work with Mr. Clark any way we can, okay, to try to make it as feasible, make it as pleasurable. I know it's difficult, and I know how the traffic patterns up here. You know, we came last week, unfortunately, we were supposed to attend a PTA meeting last week in Austin, and it started at 1 o'clock. We had no earthly idea. We showed up at 6 o'clock. But if you're going the wrong direction up here, you're in trouble. You can't turn around, you can't back up, you can't go forward, you can't do anything. It's really, really tough, okay? So I understand the dilemma. Okay, like I said, we're gonna do everything we can to be, you know, as friendly as we can within the transportation system as we possibly can. And you have to understand as well that we tier. Okay, so we don't have so much time to deal with the elementary tier, and we got to throw those buses into the high school tier. Okay, so we don't have a lot of flexibility from that standpoint, as much as we can. Okay, and even looking at running a separate 4th, 5th grade route within the Vanderland district or the Austin district and the Chestnut district is something that is feasible, because we could separate those buses and do that. But they're still going to run along the elementary time. They're going to be running right there together. Okay, and if we do that, we're going to stretch out the time that the 4th and 5th grade buses would run, because we're going to have fewer buses. You know, if you take 3 buses and try to run this area, if you run in that same area with 7 buses, you understand that your time frame changes. So we could do that as well, but it's not going to help you. It's going to hurt you to do that, you know, from that perspective. So we looked at it logistically every way we possibly can. Don't say we have all the answers. We don't feel that way. Miss Stanton, will you come up, please? Miss Stanton is your district manager. Her office is located at Peace Street Middle School, and she's a very hard worker. She'll do anything she can to make it work, and we will as well, okay? So this is your direct contact person. She's actually the expert. I'm not the expert. I understand the big picture. She understands the small nuts and bolts that happens every day, and she'll do everything she can to make it work for you. And again, like I said, please understand we're governed by law in relationship to some of the things that we can do. And again, we just want to make sure that we don't create some major problems. You know, but we're system-wide now. You got to pick my kid up. You're picking him up and done with it. We know we got the camera. We got video. You know, you can't do anything in the world anymore without it being on video. Okay, so technology got us in trouble somewhere. I'm going to sit down. They're pulling my tail, so I got to go. Did that answer all the questions, or do we need to?
No, I think that's a good answer.
We good? We go. Thank you. That's my fault. Thank you. Trying to get buses with wings, and as soon as that happens, we're going to be able to make it happen. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Any other questions for anyone? Yeah.
Can't give you an exact date on that. Soon, but on the other hand, it's a little hard for us to get some of that planning done because we don't have a house. And so some of these things, like for example, clubs and activities, we're talking about we want to have an after-school program. We've got a list of all the clubs and activities on the website. We kind of took a survey from the community of what everybody thought was important. And I sent an email back to one particular parent, I don't remember who it was, but like 4C, 4H, Builders Club, a lot of these things do similar leadership, community. So we may not have that exact one. We may have one that does, or because we have enough students in fourth and fifth grade, we may. So all of those things we're working out. We will sit down the first time as a full faculty on the 28th. Of this
no,
month.
I'm sorry, so we can stay with the
United. Oh, you'll have long before then. As soon as we get it, I would love to start getting that soon, but we've got to get sponsors, we've got to get teachers who will do it, put it to the PTO, fund it, what's going to be in the after-school program, what's not, you know, that kind of stuff. June-ish, you know, definitely before we come back for school, and we want to get it out there as soon as possible, like he was asking about buying clothes and stuff. Well, you guys kind of want to know, and some of you, will we have an after-school program? Yes. What will it look like, smell like, and taste like? Don't know exactly, but it will be there, similar to what Chestnut has, similar to what Mandel does. And I know that's more than just your question answer.
That's perfect. Thank you.
We have one more question.
That was the after-school program. That's what I have.
And I apologize for those that maybe didn't read the title of the community meeting, but I was just hoping you could perhaps clarify just one more time, just what is the status of everything with the EPA? Is everything that they issued that stated in AJC, is there everything clear, everything over? Or?
Yes. That's a good question. Yeah.
Okay, so there's no, their case is closed? Or?
There was no case, but...
There was a case.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't respond to emails or phone calls, so this is my only opportunity.
Oh, no, I respond to every email. Well, every single one.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to interject something here because we're talking about environmental protection. But there is something called reforestation where if you take down trees, you have to plant more trees than you take them down. And with our new landscaping plan, we have quadrupled the amount of trees that were originally designed for this space. And we are trying to develop an outdoor garden area. We have a grassed terraced area for a small amphitheater. I mean, we really are improving this site.
Right.
And I also want to talk about traffic for just a brief moment because the traffic is actually the problem of the Director of Public Works for the City of Dunwoody, which is Richard Meehan, who I met with this morning because I've had a lot of parents say, where's the crosswalk? Are you going to, how wide are the sidewalks? Are we ever going to have a light at the corner of Womack and Burmack? And we talked about all that. But that, again, is going to evolve because we are aware that this could be a real traffic nightmare. Okay, so there's a place where the Board of Ed's responsibility stops and the City of Dunwoody's responsibility begins. And so this is just going to be a difficult transition.
Can I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it would be well worth the investment to hire an off-duty police officer for the first week to be a entrance and exit traffic cop, literally, to help people get in and out of there.
Yeah, actually, we can do that.
It will be a disaster if you don't.
Why don't you get one of our officers? We can do that.
That would be great.
One of our police officers. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we've done that at the majority of our new schools. We have a, we'll have an SRO for, and it'll probably be more than a week until we work the kinks out with the transportation and the parent drop-off and pick-up and make sure everyone is clear on how to come into the site and how to leave. We do that with all of our new schools. And most of the new schools, I get the pleasure of directing traffic the first day, so you will see me. It was painful at Stone Mountain Middle School because they forgot to put the directional pavement, so make sure we have the signs on the direction. So everybody was coming in the out. So I actually had to stand and say, stop, go around the other way. So I will be there directing traffic the first day. But that is a standard practice for us, to have one of our police officers there directing traffic, making sure that the buses and the kids are safe, because we got small kids coming off of the buses as the parents are driving in and so forth. So that is something we do as a standard practice. Last question, right?
Yes. What about work paths? I didn't know in the conversations that you all have had, that would really help with like a walk path from Vanderland to Dunwoody Elementary, cutting through even W High School track area that's already pretty much, it would be a pretty nice setup to do that.
That's something we could talk to with our partners or even the PATH Foundation. I think we've talked about the PATH Foundation doing something of that nature. That's a good idea.
The City of Dunwoody has also explored paths and walking paths. So they do have some money set aside to develop those in the future. That would be great for any region.
Well, thank you, everyone, and we look forward to seeing you, if not before, on the project site. I look forward to seeing you at the grand opening and dedication ceremony. Thank you.